Welcome to Coffee with Cornet. My name is Robin Alexander, and I'm the chair of the Cornet Pittsburgh chapter. Before we get started, I just have a few announcements. I'd like to start off with some gratitude for our sponsors. Our annual sponsors are AE7, First National Bank, First National Insurance Agency, Desmond Architects, Civil and Environmental Consultants, Hannah Langholz Wilson Ellis, and Colliers International. Thank you to our sponsors. Without you, we wouldn't be able to put on these types of programs. We have another Coffee with Cornet session coming up in a few weeks on Tuesday, November 10th. Alan and Sharif will be presenting on actionable steps using MEP to reduce COVID transmission rates. So registration is open for that. That is another free Coffee with Cornet event. And again, the date is Tuesday, November 10th. So this morning, we have guest speakers from Siemens talking to us about using technology to return to the office. I'm happy to introduce J.D. Berry and Jim Hanick. J.D. has been working in the smart building and energy efficiency space for well over a decade and advises a variety of businesses on how to leverage technology to make their spaces smarter, healthier, and more welcoming to occupants. Jim has been working in corporate real estate management for over a decade and currently manages the full real estate lifecycle for more than 40 industrial, office, and flexible Siemens spaces across Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, and the Carolinas. So JD and Jim, thank you for being with us this morning. I'll hand it off to you to kick us off.
Great.
Great. Thank you, Robin. And thank you, Cornet Pittsburgh, for hosting this. These are great. You know, when we're a lot of us are still stuck at home, it's excellent to have these organized activities to come to. We have a presentation that we'll go through. Let me know if you can see my screen, when you can see my screen.
Yeah. We can see it, JD, but you want to go to presentation mode now.
All right. Did that work?
Yep.
Great. Excellent. Well, clearly this wants me to start on slide 3, but I'm going to go back to slide 1 here. Great. So I am JD Berry, and my colleague Jim Hanick and I, we both work for Siemens Global. And we're going to be talking to you about technology and solutions to continue with confidence and how those same technologies can benefit the corporate real estate world, specifically during and after COVID. That's two beautiful glamour shots of the two of us. And so just to start us off, from a recent Cornet survey from last month, I think all these numbers will feel familiar and feel right to you. 50% of corporate real estate professionals say it will be at least June of next year until they're at least 50% of the capacity in their office space. And only 36% of those same professionals think that the 9-to-5, Monday through Friday, commuting every day is still a relevant thing, i.e. a lot of people will be working from home or from other places, those third places that we've been talking about. Of those workers, 72% expect increased and verifiable screening and safety protocols in their office space. Shouldn't be any surprise, you know, wearing PPE, managing occupancy, sanitation stations, Things like that. 70% of those corporate real estate professionals think that their company's real estate footprint will shrink. However, it's not going to be going down to zero, right? I mean, and it's not going to be 3/4 of the footprint. It's going to be, you know, between 0 and 30% of a reduction is what most folks think. And that makes sense, right? I mean, we all predict that we're going to be past this COVID-19, where we're all going to be returning, you know, this reversion to the mean idea, right? And I think, I know that I feel it. I want to go back to the office, maybe not all the time, but some of the time, right? I miss that water cooler talk, the socialization, being able to walk around, see people, connect with people, share presentations, work together. It's the innovation space, it's the creativity, it's that meeting of the minds that is hard to replicate when you're over a Zoom or another video chat. So, you know, these are the questions that we came up with. Again, they're going to look familiar. Companies grappling with when to return, how to return, who to return. Like, who are those essential people that need to have access to the network that need to return first? Can we make physical changes? And what other safety precautions can we implement? And then there's also the change management part of it, right? I mean, there's some doubt whether, you know, other colleagues who are going to follow those safety protocols, whether everyone's going to be wearing their masks when they're walking around, whether they're going to maintain that 6 feet of distance when they're waiting for the copy machine, for example. And then the one point of entry and the one point of exit, things like that. And then in the medium to long term, you know, should we, company A, reduce our corporate real estate footprint, and how much and where, right? I mean, do we go to a much more spread out footprint? So we have smaller offices in smaller cities. Do we maintain that one location, that one headquarters, and reduce the number of outlying offices? There's a number of different ways that we can take it. And we at Siemens think that there's an opportunity to track, to use data to inform those decisions. So quick agenda, we're gonna talk about technology and solutions to make workplaces physically safe. And I'm really looking forward to Alan and Sharif's presentation next month. I think they're gonna go into a lot more detail than I can on this call on those systems. We're going to talk about how to use technology to direct and encourage safe behavior. And then we're going to talk about Siemens specifically. So Siemens, 2 or 3 months ago, announced that of the workers that have the capability to work from home, they should work from home. And that's not just now, that's for the foreseeable future. So they're directed to have a conversation with their manager, figure out a plan, but they're all instructed to work 2 or 3 days a week from somewhere else besides the office if they can, if it works for their job function. So that's a big change for Siemens Global. And Jim from Siemens Real Estate is gonna touch on that a lot. And then we're gonna touch briefly on the Siemens Pittsburgh branch reopening and how we've gone through a couple phases with that and where we're at today. And then wrap up with how data can advise those corporate real estate decisions now. So I wanted to say, I'm just glancing over at the attendee list. We do have a relatively small audience, which is great. So you do have the ability to unmute yourself. So if you have a question, or if you want to stop me, or if you have an example from your own office of something that we're talking about, please feel free to jump in. You know, we have about an hour set aside. We don't necessarily have to take the whole hour, but we certainly have time. So if you have something that's relevant, please do speak up. Alternatively, you can also ask questions in the chat. I know Robin and Amanda are monitoring that as well. So when we went into this lockdown phase, Siemens worked internally to identify systems and places within a building where we could add value, right? And in this case, adding value means how can we make the building safe? Safe to come back with confidence. If you're a hospital, how can we use our technology and our systems and our specialists and our programmers to make the hospital as safe as possible, right? So that's monitoring pressure, that's cleaning the air, that's cleaning the systems, that's managing occupancy, how many people are coming in, but also, you know, the first thing I have up here is about skin temperature screening, right? So when somebody comes into the space, we should be, you know, testing their temperature just as a screening precaution. My wife is a nurse at Children's Hospital, And all the UPMC hospitals have some sort of skin temperature screening, whether you're a patient, visitor, nurse, doctor, or a police officer, right? You get screened when you come in. So that's kind of your first line of defense. I'm going to go back a slide, actually, because this, we broke it down into seven areas of focus. And I'm going to touch on things in each one of these, I guess, except number seven, because that's more of an internal discussion about, you know, how, you know, is this an OpEx? Is this a CapEx? Is this something that we can capitalize, you know, into the building? Is, you know, is this a fundamental change in the building? That we can actually add value to the building. But in terms of the areas of focus, you know, it's surface contaminants, cleaning the air, maintaining that or improving the air quality. But it's also, while we're doing this, manage that energy performance, right? So, you know, if we're talking about bringing in a whole lot of outside air, you know, especially in the shoulder seasons, you know, what's that going to do to our energy bill, right? If we're cool air much more drastically because we're bringing in all that outside air because we want to recycle the air. So we still want to keep our eyes on the energy consumption and how can we use building controls and other systems to mitigate some of that potentially increased energy spend. And then four is really talking about a lot of the IoT stuff, the Internet of Things. So Bluetooth enabled sensors on the ceiling to see how people flow throughout the office. We'll get into that and also enable some digital contact tracing. Also using a workplace management app. We have one called Comfy, which enables desk booking, people to reserve a desk before they even come in, if they're coming in, so that they're guaranteed a spot to sit. Also helps manage occupancy. Comfy is also a great way to get information out to all employees at once. And it's something that Siemens uses at a global level. Beyond that, mass notification system, again, coming back to the communication, and then maintaining the healthy and safe environments. You know, that's kind of all inclusive, but it's just keeping an eye on all the systems as we add different parts and pieces. So I talked about that. So people counts, so the Pittsburgh branch is out in Bridgeville and we're in the process of moving to Robinson and we're gonna touch on this later, but it's a good example here. Siemens has three phases of reopening for a branch. Now I work for Smart Infrastructure and so we have mechanics, technicians, right? These are folks who are going into hospitals every day, police stations, fire stations, data centers, to keep those buildings open and operating, right? So those are essential personnel, right? We all got a letter saying, you know, as soon as the governor put down the lockdown order in March, saying that we are allowed to travel because we are essential. So the office, our office never fully closed. However, the occupancy was capped, right? So in phase one of the reopening, it was capped at 25%. So there were certain people, like people in my role, business development, sales, you know, we were disallowed from coming into the office for longer than it took to just pick up something. Engineers that needed access to the network, people who are, you know, the accounts receivable, accounts payable people, again, that needed access to the network, they were allowed to come in. And the way, one of the ways that we managed that was just through access control, right? I mean, we all have a little ID card or a fob that we wave at the door, which lets us in, right? So you just set up a count. When you reach that cap, no more people are allowed into the office. And then you use some sort of communication method to, you know, so the person's not just left out in the cold or the heat, you know, but they get a message or a notification about exactly why. And so they communicate with somebody inside so they can get what they need. So that's a very easy thing to do because most every building will have some sort of access control. Similarly, most buildings have some sort of video surveillance, video security cameras. So you can look in, you can speak with your vendor or with your partner, whether it's Siemens or Simplex Grinnell or whomever. You can talk to them, see what kind of capabilities you already have with your existing equipment, and say, hey, can we do some people counting with this? Can we use this to understand where people are queuing, where people are congregating, right? And then, you know, I identify those spots and then use some sort of signage or change management to say, hey, we can't have people congregating in certain areas. And then, you know, also use that information to get it out to the people in the office so that they can know if there's a very long line at the coffee machine, you know, and this is really applicable for much larger offices. You know, if you work in an office with 15 or 20 other people, you probably won't need this level of information. But as you get into the bigger and bigger offices, it can be very, very useful for the campus type environment. Next up, we were talking about ultraviolet light. So this is talking about here is using UV to clean surfaces. So there's a mobile unit and you can use it to clean desk surfaces. The New York City Metro, the transit system uses our partner's technology to clean their subways each night. Now, as we continue to learn more about the virus, we know that surfaces is not the number one method of transmission. However, that doesn't mean it's not important to maintain that the highest level of cleanliness that you possibly can. So things like this are available on the market. They're mobile units. You can roll them around on wheels. You know, your cleaning vendor or your cleaning contractor probably has communicated with you about what they have as options for the space. It's fancy. Next up, we're just talking about, we developed this indoor air quality program. So this is under the Siemens umbrella, but many of these we work with third-party partners. And so a lot of these are available on the open market as well. First up is the needlepoint bipolar ionization. So it's non-ozone producing ions. So it produces millions of positive and negative ions, which treat the air in the facility. They treat the coil, the ductwork, and the indoor air. The ultraviolet light we talked a little bit about, but this is also to treat the coils in an air handling unit, in a rooftop unit, to make sure those are clean as possible. And then air scrubbers, same idea. What can we do to eliminate as many contaminants as possible? Again, as we learn more about the virus, we learn that, you know, it likes to adhere itself to droplets or other contaminants. Hey, Jim, could you go on mute?
Yeah.
Just getting a little background noise. Thank you. So as we learn more about the virus, we learn that it likes to adhere itself. So the more filtration we can do, the better. You know, if you're going to go to a higher MERV rated filter, you may have to retrofit your rooftop unit, your equipment. So if that's Siemens or Johnson Controls or Honeywell or whomever you have, Climatech, you know, they can address those. And then, you know, we also get it in these last two on the right, talking about, you know, working with your controls vendor, your building controls vendor, to tweak and change the systems internally to, again, improve filtration, improve air quality, making sure that you're getting those cycles of fresh air into the space. Next up, we're going to talk about IoT solutions. So Siemens, 2.5, almost 3 years ago now, bought two companies, one called Comfy and one called Enlighted. Comfy is that workplace management app that I mentioned, and we're going to go into a bit more detail about that in a minute. Enlighted are those sensors that we can put either on a desk so that we understand desk utilization, but also we put those sensors into the light fixture so that we can control the lights. But also now the entire space is covered by this very powerful low energy Bluetooth RFID sensor. So what you can do with that is as number one says, understand occupant density patterns. So this is a real heat map from a customer. And so those darker areas are where people are, right? So the sensors can tell how people move, like when they're moving below one sensor to the next, and where people like to congregate, right? So those lighter areas are very minimally used. The darker areas are very highly used. So this is just important information if you want to change up how you set up the corridors, for instance. You might want to make a two-way corridor into one way, you know, and then you make the corresponding walkway on the other side, one way, the other way. You can also, again, you know, once you see this map, you can, again, use some signage or change management to say, hey, we need to spread out more when you're in the space. Number two, I mentioned desk booking, and that's something that Siemens is deploying across our portfolio. You know, we have a couple hundred, many hundreds of offices around the world. This is going into place into the majority of them, so that people can reserve a desk before they arrive. They can also identify which conference rooms are open. It integrates into our Outlook, so that makes everything very, very easy. And then, of course, there's the data on the back end, which the administrators have access to. I'm not going to talk about this one too much, but by understanding how people move throughout the space, you can also monitor cleaning. So you can know where people have been, so you can direct your cleaning crews to those areas. The digital contact tracing, if people want to learn more about that, it's what we're calling our safe application, and it requires all visitors and employees to wear a special ID badge so that the sensors can pick up. Now, the sensors don't necessarily know that it's me, that it's J.D. Berry. It just knows that it's somebody with tag A24681, right? And then the HR crew will have, you know, the corresponding spreadsheet to match that up with J.D. Berry. But what that allows us to do is if somebody tests positive, then we can go backwards and identify exactly who is in which space with that person over the last two weeks. So that's a very powerful tool. You do need those sensors up in the ceiling. But we do have some of our largest customers testing that.
JD, a quick question.
Yeah.
It's Greg Clark with MV5. What kind of sensors are these RFID sensors that you guys are deploying?
Yeah, so these are, unfortunately, I don't have a slide specifically on those, but if you see in the middle right, that's what the desk sensor looks like. But it's about the size of a dime. I have some in my bag, but yeah, it's only about that big, but they plug into the light. So they're low energy Bluetooth. They're Wi-Fi, they're a motion sensor, they see daylight, so you can do daylight harvesting with the lights. They're actually also a utility grade utility meter, and did I say temperature? They're also temperature.
Hmm. So it's sensing motion, and how does it link with an ID tag for personnel?
Yeah, it'll use that low energy Bluetooth functionality. So as long as you have a tag that's emitting something, and we can put tags on pieces of machinery as well, like at a hospital, like an MRI machine. So as long as it's beaconing to the sensor, we can pick that up. But it does have to be a tag that we sell. You know, it has a battery in it, so that it emits that. Great. Does that make sense?
Yep. Thanks.
Cool.
Hey, JD, we had a couple of questions pop up in the chat, so I figured I'd throw them out now during this pause. The first question is kind of about expectations of privacy, right? So as employees get their temperature taken, you know, their location in the building's being tracked, you know, what what's the dialogue been around, you know, concerns about privacy, you know, how is the age, you know, the difference between what, you know, what we need to do to return safely and kind of what the employee expectations are. Any commentary you can provide there?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's something that, you know, Siemens certainly takes very seriously, and every company should. In Europe, Siemens has, every country has what's called workplace councils. So it's made up of representatives of HR and all the different working groups that need to approve any technology like this. In the US, there's nothing formalized like that. So HR fills that role. It's absolutely a concern. And we do, Enlighted has been deployed at, you know, tens of millions of square feet of office space, not just Siemens, you know, it's some of the largest companies in the world. And, you know, it's always that balance, right? I mean, between, you know, the company, especially the corporate real estate teams wants to understand how the space is being utilized, how often a desk is actually has somebody sitting at it, you know, beyond COVID. And so the level of like what that data, what is the reward for having that data versus the risk to privacy? You know, there are other ways to identify when somebody is in the office and when somebody is working. So, you know, whether it's security cameras or badging in and badging out, logging onto your computer. So there is precedent for understanding like when somebody's quote unquote at work or not at work. And again, like for the badges, we're not tracking a person. And this isn't an important distinction because we're tracking a badge, right? And then Siemens and Enlighted, we don't know who that badge is associated with or who's wearing that badge. Only the HR team can have the key, if you will, to match up the tag with the person. But it's a conversation that is ongoing, ever changing. And it's certainly something that the dialogue needs to be open. Hope that helps.
That does. Thank you.
Oh, can I ask a follow-up question on that? So would the badge be something that people would keep all the time on their person, or every day kind of give it back? And like, is it something that then ultimately you'd have to continue to have in order to continue to trace?
Yeah, so to do the backwards tracing, they would have to have the same badge throughout. This badge that we have only works with, you know, a sensor such as Enlighted, right? So after you left the building, it's not like GPS, right? There's no way to track somebody once they leave the building. So there's no danger of, you know, following a person home. But yet it would have to be the same badge.
Okay. JD, the other question we got in the chat was around telling employees about the indoor air quality results. So the question is there some type of a daily or on-demand reporting mechanism? Because, you know, people are probably going to be wanting to have, you know, some employees might want to have that information about the indoor air quality. So
I think that's a great idea.
I can share a little bit on that, JD, if you want me to, from a Siemens perspective. Sure. So in a lot of the facilities that I manage, and the message that we've been given is that generally speaking, we're communicating to each of the locations and their workforces that we are increasing outside air volume. We're, you know, opening the outside air dampers. We're circulating air more frequently. We're changing filters on a more frequent basis. We're not necessarily carte blanche increasing MERV ratings on filters, because as JD pointed out earlier, sometimes that drives a more expensive equipment upgrade, because you can actually choke an air handler off, and it'll actually turn off, and you create bigger problems. So what Siemens has elected to do is we generally communicate to our workforce as part of our COVID response program. We are managing our air handling equipment to ASHRAE and CDC guidance, and we do not get into trying to report out on a daily basis what may or may not be the current or each day's indoor air quality statistics that might come out from a data acquisition system.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, it sounds like there's just some hurdles to getting an accurate number sometimes on a daily basis.
Right. And I think largely too, I'll just add to that, JD, is, you know, within Siemens is trying to be, you know, very consistent across its, you know, locations around the globe and how they're doing things. So the last thing that you want to get into when you've got a global presence in many, many, many locations is to have one location say, well, why does New York City get to have all this technology and they're getting all this data? And the guy in El Paso is just told, trust me, it's working well, go back to work. You know, so there's been somewhat of an effort to try to maintain a consistent level approach in terms of what's been done. Obviously, if employees come to you with a question or concern about a specific issue, that obviously warrants a deeper dive, maybe some adjustments and some performance upgrades there. But we have not been faced with any of that to this point.
No, that makes perfect sense. And actually, this leads into your section, Jim. So you can.
Oh, great. All right. Well, again, as JD said, you know, thank you for hosting this. It's interesting. Actually, I'm hoping to maybe be able to participate in a lot more of these going forward. It's something I've not been involved with too much with the Cornet Group to this point in my real estate background and in history in the Pittsburgh area. So I'm looking forward to that and enjoying it so far. So what I wanted to speak a little bit about, I've got about 25 years with Siemens in total with various operating groups. And I'm approaching, I have a little over 10 years in the corporate real estate world. 2010, moving up from one of the operating companies in an operations and management role within a facility, a manufacturing facility, to now into the corporate real estate world. And as it was introduced in the forefront, you know, we've got quite a few locations in the U.S. The United States is Siemens' largest market. I think we have just under 300 locations in the U.S., about 8 million square feet. Siemens has, under its umbrella of companies, established Siemens Real Estate as a standalone service company within their matrix of operating groups. As JD mentioned, you know, he works for one of the three companies that are businesses that Siemens operates under, the Siemens AG, or the German headquarters level Siemens. That's Smart Infrastructure. There's another group, business that's Digital Industries. It's similar in concept as to what Smart Infrastructure does, except it's focused on the Internet of Things and connectivity and digital technologies and stuff that enhance and create additive manufacturing. So they're heavily focused on facilities that manufacture equipment, production automation.